Thank you, Joanne. You can have a seat. Well, good morning. If you're not awake, I'm not sure what's happening, but I bet you're awake by now. It's been a fun morning. It's been a fun week. You know, we had in this room throughout the week over 130 leaders from within you all helping and 190 campers that were making their way. So thank you, church, for this great job. You know, I got the chance really to just kind of mingle a lot throughout the week, but one of the best parts of the week was I got to come teach on Wednesday, and kids, can I let you guys in on a secret? Yeah. Do you promise not to tell everyone that's sitting right there? They probably won't hear me. Okay, you guys are my favorite group to teach, all right? By far. These guys, they all fall asleep on me, but you guys don't, all right? So thank you guys, but it was a fantastic week, you know, and one of the things that I loved about this particular Summer XP is, you know, our vision right now at CPC is that we want to become a transformed people, transforming the peninsula. And so we've been talking a lot about that, and we will talk more about that in the fall. But one of the themes that we talked about this week with the kids, this idea of making waves. And what it really begins with is this idea or this concept that a small ripple can actually become a large wave over time. And it begins then is this small kind of movement where we become transformed. That's the ripple. As God intersects with our life, we become transformed. And then as we are transformed by the Holy Spirit, by the work of God, we then go out in our living and that ripple effect becomes a sort of wave. That God is working alongside that. And so throughout this whole week, we've been teaching these kids about this idea of being a transformed people, transforming the peninsula. On day one, we talked about how God has made us for a purpose. And we looked at Genesis 1 and 2 and the story of creation. And we talked about how all of us have been created with different skill sets and passions and callings, to which when we live into those things, we begin to feel the effects ripple outward. On day two, we talked about how Jesus invited people to follow him. How not only are we created with a purpose, but yet we've been invited into this group of Jesus followers, trying to figure out what it means to live faithful to the way of Jesus in our time. And so we talked about being invited to follow him. And on day three, we talked about how you can trust Jesus with your life. And we looked at the death and the resurrection, the sort of center point of our faith tradition, and said, what does this mean in how we understand our role in the kingdom of God? And it's through that we can trust Jesus with our whole life, the whole of who we are. On day four, we talked about how we can love others the way Jesus loves you. And it's not just that we receive that love, but then we reflect that love outward. That's always been the story. Ever since Genesis, Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. And in the same way, we are receiving this love, but it's not meant to just be for us. It's rather goes out into the world and all the different spaces in which we live. We too are loved to go out and love others. And then on day five, the last day, we talked about how God can help us change the world around us. That as we go, as this wave is forming of Jesus followers catching the vision of what it means to follow him, to go out into the world, we can lean into God to have him help change the world around us. Again, we are a transformed people transforming the world around us. We are a small ripple that's bubbling up into this much larger wave. Well, this morning, I want to look at that text that was beautifully read by Joanna. Thank you again for that. I want to look at this story of Peter walking on water, because Peter has this kind of this story that Matthew tells where it's this sort of microcosm of the life of a disciple. And as we look at this story, we're gonna see that what the dimensions and the drama, all of that is in this, packed in this tiny story, really is the invitation for us to make waves, to step out in faith and begin to know what it looks like to follow Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, flip to Matthew chapter 14. And as you turn there, let me kind of set the stage on where Matthew's at in his gospel. He just finished telling the story about Jesus, and Jesus is out and he's teaching thousands of people. He's teaching 5,000 people on this mountainside about the kingdom of God. And as he's teaching them, his disciples are, I imagine, scrambling a bit, and they're realizing this crowd is becoming a bit hungry. What are we going to do about that? And so they look around and they see a small boy who's got some loaves and fish. And so they're like, hey, let's bring that. And Jesus just begins to do his thing and begins to feed miraculously these 5,000 people just from this small group of fish and loaves. But it's from that scene, again, imagine that, get into that mindset, that Matthew then transitions and begins to tell this story about how immediately from there they go out with Jesus into this scene that we're about to read. So let's pick up in chapter 14, verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Verse 23, after he had dismissed them, he went up from the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, consider our study in Mark, where we've been for quite a while now. This scene is probably fairly familiar, right? Jesus goes out, he teaches, he's with the crowds, and then he retreats away. Right, a similar rhythm that we've seen in Mark, Matthew's depicting as well. So Jesus is with this crowd, and then he sends the disciples ahead in the lake. And I think that's an important note by Matthew, because Jesus knows the storm that's about to hit the lake. He's aware of those things. And yet he still sends these disciples out onto the water in the midst of that particular storm. And so as he sends them out, he retreats to pray. And while the boat's out there, it says that the boat's off in the distance and the waves begin to crash around it. Now, the disciples, most of them were professional fishermen. Okay, so they're used to being on the water. They're used to storms. They're used to these sorts of experiences. But I think what we see here probably caught them by surprise a little bit, because we get the sense, as we look down at verse 25, that they were fighting this storm all through the night. Listen to what it says in verse 25. It says, shortly before dawn, right? So the night before Jesus sent them out, but now it's shortly before dawn, before daybreak. It says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. All right, so all night you get this sense the disciples are fighting this storm. For whatever reason, they can't quite overcome it. They can't cross through it. They're just kind of caught in this. And Jesus, who's away kind of praying on this mountainside, sees the struggle they're in, and it says he moves towards them. Again, think about what Matthew is depicting here. For most of us, when we sense this idea of a storm, and I don't know what the storm is for you, it could look a lot of different ways for you. But whatever it is, that storm that you're walking through, that you're out in the middle of the lake on, you feel very much alone. But I think there's something comforting to look back on the shore and realize Jesus is up there praying. And not only is he praying distant, he's actually moving towards you. See, most of us, when we get caught in these sorts of storms and we get caught in these moments in life where the waves seem to be overcoming us, we think of God as distant. But Jesus here is moving closer to the storm. He's entering into the storm. Jesus has never promised there won't be storms, but Jesus has always promised to be with us in the storm. And as these disciples are navigating life kind of in the midst of these waves, Jesus is moving towards them in a way of saying, I am with you in the midst of that. See, there's something, again, comforting about that when we realize it may not be that Jesus is about taking the storm away, but rather he will walk through it with you. That's the life of the disciple. In the midst of the chaos, Jesus is there before them. And as Jesus is going, there's this sort of sense, again, that the disciples are almost, I imagine they're physically exhausted. I imagine they're emotionally exhausted, probably a bit spiritually exhausted. They just went through the scene with the 5,000. Now they're fighting this storm all night long. And so when they see this guy walking on the water and they're a bit terrified, I think we might be terrified as well. But they look out and they think, man, who is this person who's out here? Again, do you view Jesus like that? Do you, like these disciples, see Jesus out in the midst of the chaos and think, who is this out here? What is your view of Jesus? does Jesus move closer to in these moments? But it's in this moment that Jesus, in his moving forward, sees them, and his immediate response is, listen, take courage, it's me. I'm here. And I think to the disciples' credit, what we see in verse 28 is that it seems that actually Jesus calling out to them actually did resolve their fears. Look down at verse 28. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Right? It's no longer this fear and terror. It's rather, Jesus, if that's you, I will enter even further. I'll come out of the boat and pursue you more. It says, I will move towards you. It goes on. It says, come, he said. This is Jesus speaking. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Right, so imagine again the scene. Peter, terrified, the waves still crashing, and yet when he sees this Jesus out there, his rabbi, his teacher, his soon-to-be savior through the work on the cross, and he sees him out here and he says, I want to be with him. And he does so much. The faith is so empowering to him that he actually takes the step. Like imagine taking your foot over the edge of the boat. It's in that moment that Peter moves towards Jesus, says, yes, Jesus, I want to be with you. And this moment, I think, is both inspiring for us and probably was inspiring for those other disciples in the boat. But at the same time, it's a bit commonplace. And what I mean by that is this is exactly what disciples are to do. The whole business of being a disciple was imitating your rabbi. It was to become like your rabbi. It was to take on the life of your rabbi. So when Peter sees Jesus walking on the road, I think he's actually doing what we would anticipate a disciple doing. As crazy as that sounds, is he sees his rabbi, his teacher, and says, I have to go and go wherever this Jesus goes, even if it means out in the middle of this lake where there's all sorts of trouble and chaos happening. But Peter responds to this because, again, that's what disciples do. What is it that Jesus is asking you to do? If we call ourselves disciples, our task is the same. We are to imitate Jesus. We are to imitate our rabbi, our teacher. And so for Peter, it meant him walking on the water. But yet, very much like Peter, the scene begins to shift. It changes in a very similar way, I think, that we would experience as well. As he's walking on the water, he takes a few steps, but then the waves begin to come into view. His eyes shift off of Jesus, and into focus comes the chaos of the moment. And it appears that once Peter takes his eyes off Jesus, he begins to sink. And I would imagine if you've ever watched someone learn how to walk, I imagine the scene looked a little bit like that, because I don't think Peter's ever walked on water before. But he begins to stumble. He begins to look around and think, how can I continue doing what my rabbi is doing? Is that not the same for us? As we step out in obedience to Jesus, saying, God, I'm ready to obey, I'm ready to follow, to imitate you, my teacher, my savior, I want to do what you are doing. And we get out of the boat, but then the cost comes. Think of the soils last week, the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. The thorns begin to pop up, the rocky soil gets in the way, and we think, gosh, how can I do this thing? It doesn't seem logical. It doesn't seem, you know, rational for me to continue following Jesus. But the invitation is always to come to Jesus. He's there on the water. Listen to what New Testament scholar Craig Keener says about this scene. He says, still Peter knows by this point whom to cry out to. Because notice, although his faith faltered while walking, his first reaction is, Jesus, save me. That even in the midst of that doubt, there was enough in him that could muster the courage to still know where to cry out, to not resort to his own abilities, but rather he leans further in to Jesus. Keener goes on, he says, his feeble attempt to walk on water is no more feeble than our first attempts to walk on land. Our faith may be more infantile than Peter's if we have never even tried to step out in obedience to Jesus' commands or direction for our lives. Many of us have less practice walking in faith than two-year-olds have walking physically. It is important to note that while Jesus is disappointed with Peter's inadequate faith, Peter acted in greater faith than the other disciples. He is learning. Faith cannot be worked up by formulas or emotion, but it grows through various tests as we continue to trust our Lord and he continues to teach us. Faith grows out of a relationship with the person of Jesus and in no other way. I love this because you see this in Peter's life, don't you? You see this moment of great faith where he's stepping out, following Jesus. He's taking the steps amongst the chaos and the waves, but yet just a few chapters later, we're going to see him deny the very existence of Jesus. And then a few chapters after that, he's going to become the pillar on which the church stands. Like, Peter is a case of like three steps forward, two steps back. He's the case of like that two-year-old, as Keener's talking about, trying to walk physically, but still like stumbling around in the dark. See, I find so much solace in Peter. And I think as we draw kind of towards the close of this scene, I want to note just two things about Peter. The first that I think we can learn from is if we want to follow Jesus, we have to get out of the boat. If you're going to follow Jesus, there will be a moment in which you have to hoist your leg over the edge of the boat and take that first step. It will be hard. It will be challenging. It may, in fact, even cost you something. But if we want to follow our rabbi, we have to begin to take that step. If we want to grow in Christ-likeness, we do, in fact, have to trust and follow Jesus. So what is it for you? I don't know what storm it is, again, that you're facing. And maybe you're in the boat and you're in the midst of it and life is just throwing things at you. Maybe it's a diagnosis. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's job struggles. Whatever the waves are, whatever the chaos is that's breaking in on you, I wonder if Jesus is still there saying, come. Come out to me. I've been watching you. I've been praying for you. I've been drawing closer to you. And now I'm right here in the midst of the waves and I'm inviting you to come. Come. If we want to follow Jesus, we have to get out of the boat. And then the second thing that we learn from Peter that we too can take is that to walk with Jesus through the storm, you have to fix your eyes on him. It was the moment that he drew his attention away from Jesus and onto the circumstances in which he began to sink. He began to allow the circumstances to actually overcome the faith that he had. And so, church, what does it look like in the midst of that storm, whatever it is you're facing, to just fix your eyes on Jesus and just say, I'm going to continue one step at a time. I don't know how we're going to get through this. I don't know how this all makes sense. But one step at a time, I'm just going to follow Jesus a little more and a little more. I think that happens again in the mundane things. If you remember earlier in our Gospel of Mark series, Jesus was getting away to the wilderness, the eremos, the lonely place, where he'd connect with God, where he'd set aside amongst all the busy and chaos of ministry, he'd get away and in the quiet, he would just let his heart be saturated in the love of God. I wonder if that's a way in which we fix our eyes on Jesus. Amongst all that this life brings, amongst all the pressures, anxieties, and stresses that we face, I wonder if just starting each morning in the quiet, it's an act of rebellion to say, I will fix my eyes on Jesus, not on the circumstances. If we want to walk with Jesus, particularly through the storms, we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. Listen to the way the story closes. Let's look down at verse 31 again. It says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said, why did you doubt? All right, I love that image because again, as we step out into that, as we get out of the boat, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, we very much like Peter will falter. It will happen. But I love that little word, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and saved him. Immediately he reached the hand out and it was there. Verse 32, it says, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. It was that small movement of Peter to get out of the boat and move towards Jesus that began a movement of worship in the boat. It was that ripple that created a wave in which the whole boat looked at Jesus when they climbed back in and said, this guy truly is the Son of God. It was that small movement of saying, I'm going to move closer to Jesus. I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to fix my eyes on him. I'm going to step out in obedience as disciples do. And when they get back in, the wave of worship had taken place and they begin to declare that he is the Son of God. Peter, in that moment, became a transformed person who was transforming those around him. There was something in that movement, that witness of that simple yet profound act of faith that started something far beyond Peter himself. Church, I wonder again if this is the invitation for us. And for some of us, stepping out of the boat, we need to hear Jesus say, take courage. It's I, but come. Others of you are in the midst of the storm. You're there and you need to see that visual of Jesus reaching his hand out to save you, because it's there and immediately he's doing that. But wherever it is, the call for us as the people of God is to continue to pursue Jesus. So my hope, as we learned this week with these kids and we watched them step out more and more into that obedience, is that we could understand our role in following Jesus. And maybe we, as we go from here, begin to kind of recognize this storm that I'm in, this moment, I'm ready to get out of the boat and take one step further towards following Jesus, because he's a good God, he's one whom we can trust, and he's with us in the midst of that. So let's pray, and then we're going to sing one more song around this topic as well. Lord, I pray that we can learn, God, from Peter. I think about that scene as he's getting out of the boat and the thoughts that must have been going through his head. But God, I do know that it appears the most predominant thought was that I can trust this Jesus. So God, I pray for us as we go, as we have learned all week about what it means to make a way for you, Lord, to pursue you, to follow you more. God, I pray that we could be inspired like Peter to take that first step. God, and for some of us, that is that first step to just say yes to you. God, for others of us, we're in the storm. We're trying hard to fix our eyes on you. But God, the waves seem to be getting bigger and bigger. And so God, I pray for those who are in the midst of that, that they would feel your welcome. They would sense your hand reaching towards them. And God, would you be with those again who are in the midst of that chaos, God? Because you've always promised to do that. So God, we thank you for being that kind of God that pursues us. God, help us, charge us up as we go to follow you more closely. In Jesus' name, amen.